with a grain of salt. That's okay. I believe that praise is a Christian believer's biggest weapon. Praising God is the best thing that you can do in your prayers. Actually, if you look throughout the Word of God, you'll notice something that normally when somebody goes to praise, they end up praising God. They end up praising Him for who He is, for what He's done, and God has done a lot. He has done much more than we can imagine. I can't fathom for 1 minute how great our God is. I can't fathom why He does so many amazing things for you and I. So many amazing things for New Life Fellowship. He has done so much for New Life Fellowship. And I want to praise Him here just really quick. I am so thankful that He gives me a church family that rejoices with me and mourns with me. That's been very big in my life this year, as many of you know. He's so great. We're going to be in Psalms chapter 16. If anybody knew how to praise God, it was David. If anybody knew how to praise God the right way, it was David. Was David a mess up? Yes. Did he mess up? Of course he did. But he knew how to come back to God. I don't know about you, but I would not want to be a king. I would not want to be the president. I wouldn't want to be a governor. I wouldn't want to do any of that because there's so much stress. You can lose your joy so easily in those situations. So easily. But David was quick to come back and tell God who He is in his life. Who He is. See, there's too many Christians living joyless lives this evening. They've lost their joy. Their joy has been taken from them. This world takes your joy. This sinful, absolutely disgusting, sinful world takes that joy that God gives us. See, this joy is much different than what the world describes as joy. This joy is something that sustains us, makes us firm, makes us solid. So Psalms chapter 16, we're going to just read about how great God is. We're going to read about how great that our God is. Verse 1, keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all of my delight. For who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out my libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion. In my cup you make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With Him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in the presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. God is great. God is good. See, God is the one that establishes heavenly joy in our lives. How can we possibly be joyful in a time like this? How can we possibly find the joy of the Lord when all it seems like chaos? When all around us seems like it's going up in flames? Can I tell you that God never changes? And we can rest assured that we can have this joy every single day of our life because God never changes His character. And God gives us this joy. See, number one, how do we get this joy? We need a relationship with Jesus Christ. We have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ if we ever want a sustaining joy in our life. If we ever want that joy back in our life, we got to draw closer to God. We got to keep drawing closer like we've never drawn before. And we got to just hope in our heart and know with assurance that God's going to come near us. God's going to come to us. See, in verse 2 here it says, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. If you do not have the Lord, you do not have any good thing. Just because the world says it's good doesn't make it good. Apart from the Lord, we have no good thing. See, number 2, we need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Can I tell you that trials and tribulations in your life are going to come, and they're going to try to steal your joy, but can I tell you that you can have joy in those things? See, joy is completely separate from happiness. Completely separate. When good things happen to you, we feel happy. We feel really, really happy. But see, we can have joy even in the midst of suffering. In the midst of trial and tribulation, you can still shout for joy. You can still shout with all your heart because God never changes. His character never changes. We can rest in assurance in God's love every single day of our life. Every single day. And I know, and I can testify, not every single day of my life is good. Not every single day of my life goes roses and daisies and all those things, because that's not the life that God promises us. But God does promise us joy. God does promise us peace. God does promise us hope, faith, love, joy, patience, forbearance, and self-control. All those fruits of the Spirit that we read. He promised us to us those things, but we have to live by the Spirit. We have to live by God's word. We got to keep our eyes focused. It says on verse 8, I'll keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Did you know that this evening? That you don't have to be a shaky Christian. You don't have to have it. You don't have to ever. You can be solid every single day of your life if you keep your eyes fixated on the one who gives us the joy, on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one that can give us this joy. Number 3, the last thing that we absolutely need to remember every single day of our life is we need to praise God. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty hungry right now. It can be sometimes difficult to praise God when I'm sitting here like, I haven't eaten in 24 hours. I don't feel good. I'm hungry. We can feed off the word this evening. We can feed off what God gives us this evening. I pray that if you are hungry right now, if you're hungry, you haven't eaten, and even if you did eat at 6 o'clock, think about this. Turning our hunger to being hungry and fed from the Word of God. Letting us just be fed from what is written in the best thing that God gives us, and it's His Holy Word. His Holy Spirit, so that we can understand His Holy Word. So we can understand that joy, that peace, that the great things that God gives us. See, God keeps us safe. But can I tell you that there are going to be moments in your life where you don't feel safe, where you don't feel like God, that you're taking refuge, because we're taking refuge in our shelter and everything else but God. And then we wonder, where is my joy? Where's my joy gone? I only see bad things in the news. I only see bad things in this world. Well, why? Because this world is bad. This world is sinful. See, apart from God, we have no good thing. I really want to beat this across this evening. That apart from God, we have no good thing. And just because we say certain things doesn't actually mean that they're true. We have to 100% believe and take it into action that God is our Lord. We have to live like God is our Lord, that He is our Master, that He is the one who leads and guides our steps. See, many of us do this. And this is why it can be so difficult. I don't know about you, sometimes it's difficult. Like, what's God been doing in my life? I can't think of anything. What is God doing? What's God been doing with me? It feels like God hasn't done anything with me. Sometimes we often forget the small things. God gives us shelter. He gives us security. He gives us love. He gives us salvation if you're a believer in Christ. If God only saved us, it would be worthy to praise Him for. But He gives us so much more. We gain so much more than salvation from our God. See, we see that here in this psalm. We gain so much more. In verse 11, he says, "You make known to me the path of life." People search their whole life for this path. And the Lord says, or David says, "You make it known to me." God only makes known the path of life. The true path of life, that true purpose in your life. "You will fill me with joy in your presence." Man, we have great, great joy in the presence of God. Great, great joy. Immeasurably more than we deserve, but He gives it to us. "With eternal pleasures at your right hand." See, the Bible says that we shouldn't store up treasures on this earth, but treasures in heaven. Those are the things we find joy in. Turn with me to Luke chapter 17. This is where something kind of weird happens. Not so weird, because we see Jesus do it multiple times in the Bible. Jesus is going to heal these 10 men. These men that are deemed unclean, that have this disease, that they're thrown out of their city. These men weren't allowed to be in their city. So Luke chapter 17, verse 11. Let's pay close attention to what Jesus does here. "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' When he saw them, he said, 'Go show yourselves to the priest.' And as they went, they were cleaned. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleaned? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?' Then he said to him, 'Rise, go, your faith has made you well.'" So here Jesus comes into towards the city, and you got these 10 men, and they obviously understand who he is, because they call out to him saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And see, Jesus does something a little bit different here. Instead of putting his hand on them, instead of him just speaking it, "You're healed," he says, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." Well, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to us. Why wouldn't Jesus just heal them there? Then they could easily just praise him for it. See, the way that it worked is they had to come back to the city to the priest when they were deemed unclean to be deemed clean again. So Jesus says, "Go to the priest and he'll let you in. You'll be healed from it." And on the way, not when they get to the priest, but on the way, all 10 will hear. Not just this one, all 10 of these men are healed. Now, I don't know about you, but if you haven't been in your home for however long that these men were in their home for, and they know if they go to the priest that they get to come back in, but for some reason, there's just one man who says, "Forget about the city, forget about my home, I'm going to go praise the one who healed me. I'm going to fall at the feet of Jesus and thank him for what my faith produced is healing." Do you know your faith produces healing in your life? True healing, salvation. See, we're saved through our faith. Our faith in what? Jesus Christ. That price that he paid on the cross, that thing that we've said that we praise him for. He did that for you and I, so that we can have eternal life, but also, oh, isn't it beautiful to say also? also to have joy in our life. Why would we want this joy? Why? Isn't it just easier to be sad? Isn't it just easier to go about life and complain and grumble about what's going on? Isn't it just easier to do that? Did you know that joy in your life produces perseverance? Produces perseverance. Well, why on earth would I need perseverance? I'm not going to go through any bad thing. I'm not going to need any of that. That's wrong. If anybody says to you that the Christian life is going to be easy, they're mistaken. It's not easy. In fact, this is why James says to us, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, that you face trials of many kinds. Because in that, it produces perseverance. In that, it produces perseverance so that you can run the race with endurance. If you don't have joy, you ain't going to be able to run the race. If you ain't going to be able to rejoice God, you're going to have a hard time running the race. That race produces in us the greatest joy in our life. The greatest joy. See, Psalms 126, you don't have to turn there. Psalms 126, 3 says this. This is important. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Well, what has He done? What has He done for New Life? Did you know this? It's something that I've been thinking about for a while. Something that's been on my heart. I've been in places in my life where I doesn't feel like God's moving. I've been in places where it just feels like it's very stagnant. Like God's not really there. Like God's not blessing me. And then I kind of get jealous of what He's doing for some other believers. And you know how all that stuff works. I'm not the only one. Did you know when God blesses this church, He's not blessing this building. He's blessing each and every one of us. When God blesses New Life Fellowship, we are blessed because of it. When God blesses the ministries, we are blessed because of it. If we want to experience blessings, think about what He's doing in this church. Think about what He's doing with imperfect people. For some reason, He's using us. We need to praise Him for it. We need to rejoice because God is worthy of rejoicing. We need rejoicing. Like I mentioned, I'm so thankful that I have a church family that rejoices with me and mourns with me. Each and every one of you need that. You need me to rejoice with you just like I need you to rejoice with me. And mourn with you like I need you to mourn with me. We're a family. We're a family filled with joy. The joy of the Lord. There is no greater joy than the joy of the Lord. See, what has God done for us? He loves you. He saved you. He died for you. He's redeemed you. He's delivered you. He's given you grace. He's given you mercy. He's given you purpose. And He's given you an adoption. He's called you a child of God. He's given you an inheritance in heaven. He's given you so much things. We don't have any reason not to rejoice. We don't have a reason not to rejoice Him. That cross alone deserves rejoicing. That cross alone deserves us to urgently look for somebody who else needs that joy. Who needs that salvation. That greatest thing in their life. Because I know people, and I'm sure you guys know people, that have lost their joy in the Lord. What a sad, sad thing. There are many, many times where we've just lost it. Did you know that it's not so far away to get it back? That God has not left. God's still here. God is still here. He's just wanting us to praise Him. He's asking us. Praise me and see what I do. Thank me and see what I do. See, the Bible says that when we ask, God is able, and He's so much able that He's able to do immeasurably more than what we ask. And hasn't He done that here at New Life? Hasn't He done that here at New Life, done immeasurably more than what we ask? I didn't know we do half the stuff that we've done. And I can tell you that we haven't done it on our own. Because if we did it on our own, we wouldn't be here today. We just wouldn't be here because God wouldn't allow it. And like I said the week before, he'd have every right to take it away if we did it without him. He'd have every right to. So I pray this evening, that we 100% rejoice and praise God for what he's doing here. Because I don't want it to stop. And I pray that you don't want it to stop either. Because I see God move here every single week. He brings a new lady to the life house who's trying to get her life right. He brings someone new to the meal ministry who's struggling, doesn't know how to feed their kids. He does that so that we might have an opportunity to share the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the greatest thing anyone can ever know. The greatest thing anyone could ever know is that Jesus died for me. And I have eternity in heaven if I'd only believe. If I'd only have enough faith to walk to the priest. If I'd only have enough faith to just go, God would heal me. God would heal me immeasurably more than whatever I think. This is a great piece. And this just shows us how many times I feel like we just forget. We just forget what God's doing. We just forgotten what God's done. Especially right now. Don't let the coronavirus steal the joy of the Lord from you. Don't let it happen. That's exactly what the devil would want. Don't let all the craziness of the world steal your joy. Because it's the only thing that's giving you perseverance. It's the only thing that's keeping you going. It's the only thing that's letting you run the race with endurance. Every single day. Every single day I have to have joy. That sounds hard. Because it is hard. This is why he says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. I thank God every single day for each and every one of you here. Each and every one of you here, I thank him because without you guys, like Jeremy said, this 24 hours, I remembered every single thing that I did. Every wrong thing. And you know what God said to me, Jeremy? I took you from that place. I took you from that pit. I took you from that disgusting place and I gave you new life. I gave you a life of abundance. And I can tell you, I ain't rich. I'm not rich, but I can say I'm more abundant. I have more abundant life than I've ever had before. Than I ever have before because of that cross. There's no other thing that can give this to you. There's no other thing to get you into heaven. There's no so many good things that you can do. Why? Because back in Psalms, what did it say? Apart from the Lord, you have no good thing. You can't do any good without God. It's not good then because it's selfish. Trust in the cross. Me and Ben did a podcast last week on what's the cost. What's the cost of being a disciple of Jesus? What does it cost you? It costs you everything, but you gain everything. It costs you everything, but Jesus Christ gives you more than we could ever imagine. This is why sometimes I'll praise him for, God, I know you've been doing stuff. I praise you for it. I know you've been doing little things in my life, and I'm sorry I've forgotten, God, but I praise you for them. Because I forget. I forget more and more every day, and I'm only 25. God, sometimes I cling to this verse. This verse in Philippians. I've had this verse on my heart for probably 5 years now. It's Philippians 4:4, and it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And I love how Paul has to say it again. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And he says, I'll say it again. Rejoice. 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 if we just sat down, and that's why I thank God for the fast. Like Jeremy said, I've never done a fast like this. We're always praying for something or praying something doesn't happen. And those are good things. But to sit down and think about what God's done in my life, I should be in jail or dead. And I know so many of you would say the same thing. God continually asks each and every one of us to call him Lord because he understands how great it is in each and every one of our lives. That joy, that sustaining joy. See, God has done so many great things that we couldn't sit down and name all the things he's done for New Life. But I want to say some. Because I think he deserves it. I think God deserves to hear the praises of his people. I think he's worthy of it. He's taken a church with small numbers. He's given them opportunities to feed people at the meal ministry, to help people who are recovering from drugs and alcohol, to help people who don't have a place to stay, to help people that come off the streets. He lets us worship here every single Sunday, every single Wednesday, and I pray that never stops here. He establishes my steps. He's been establishing these church steps since day one. He has made things known to us that I thought we'd never know. He has helped us run the race when it seemed like it was going to get too hard. He's helped us do hard things in this church. He's motivated us to do things we didn't think we were able to do. He gives us His Spirit every single day. You know how great your God is? I pray if all you did was come out of here and say, man, my God is great, then you've got the message. You've got the message. But see, it doesn't stop there. We can rejoice all we want in this building, and it stays in this building. If we're not rejoicing at work, and I'll tell you this, when I worked in the heating and cooling business, that was the hardest time to rejoice. Because I'm hot. I'm frustrated. I'm sure Larry knows. It can be hard to rejoice at work, but I can tell you that people are watching. I'll share an experience with you. A couple years ago when we did the fast, I'm telling you, the fast is one of the biggest things that you can do to share the gospel with somebody. Because when I'm sitting in the truck with somebody and they ask me why I don't eat lunch, I get to share the gospel. I get to share the gospel. Well, why do you fast? Why are you fasting? To get closer with God. And then they ask, well, why would you want to get closer to God? Because it's the greatest thing in your life. And I get to share the gospel. Did you know that you get to share the gospel every day of your life? Some people are scared of that. But that is a blessing in our life. To get to share the greatest thing in our life. And that's salvation. But I can say that lots and lots of people only rely on their salvation. Only rely on that testimony of when they got saved. That great and awesome testimony. God wants to keep filling you with joy every single day of your life. He wants to keep overflowing your cup every single day of your life so that your little water or all that stuff that comes out of your cup goes to others. That joy is overflowing. Joy is overflowing. So I want to ask you this question. Have you lost your joy? Has your joy been stolen from you? Has the devil come in and devoured your joy, stole it, killed it, whatever he did to it? By whatever, it doesn't even matter what it is. I can tell you, you need this joy every single day of your life. Don't let the world take it from you. And I say this with passion in my heart. That the world is going to try to take it from you. They're going to try to take it from you. They've been doing it for a long time. The devil's been pretty good right now at stealing Christians' joy. Believers' joy. Don't let them do it. The Bible says, be alert and sober mind. Be alert and sober mind. That's how we fight against the devil. It starts by a relationship with Jesus Christ. In the middle, we got to keep our eyes fixated on Him. And if you do those two things, I'm telling you, it's going to lead to praise. If you do those two things, it's not going to lead to anything but praise. So before I close out of here, Jimmy did the same thing with me. We're not going to pass the mic because I understand a little bit when someone gives you a mic. It's a little nerve-wracking. I get it. So I'm going to give you one last opportunity to praise God. I'm going to give you one last opportunity. Just shout. You can say, God is great. And if every single one of us, all we did was say, God is great, I'm telling you, it's a sweet aroma to God. So whenever you feel inclined through the Spirit to praise God, go ahead.